Thank you for joining us today on the Reach Community Church podcast. We hope this week's message encourages and blesses you as we dive into God's Word together. Our mission at Reach is to see lives changed by Christ together in community by loving God, loving people, and reaching our world. We'd love to have you join us next Sunday. You can learn more about our mission at reachcommunitychurch.com.
This morning, it's Father's Day, and I believe if we're not careful, Mother's Day is a day of like joy and celebration, and at church, sometimes Father's Day feels like you suck, and you should do better. Be honest, I watched a video this week, and it was like Mother's Day, I think, is the second most celebrated holiday after Christmas. Guess what number Father's Day is? 20. I don't know if it's right or not, you know, like other videos that you see, but like, I don't even know 17 other holidays that might be before it. I mean, I could maybe get to 10, but like, what are the other ones?
Groundhog Day.
It is. And part of that's because, In a sense, we've made a mess of things in our culture and our stuff. And today, I'm not here to condemn anybody. I'm here to say that by the grace of God, regardless of what happened yesterday, regardless of how old your children are, regardless of what's happening, God has redemption available for all of us. And so that's kind of my heart this morning. My title today is, what legacy will you leave? And so I want to start off by just saying, as we celebrate Father's Day, we do celebrate you. And if you didn't get one on the way in, on the way out, make sure that you get a gift card. We have Chick-fil-A and Leland Smokehouse, which I'm a big fan of. The brisket is...
Preach it.
Amen, brother. Amen. So I want to talk about the opportunity we're given to invest in something that will outlive us. And I'm not talking about your careers, because the truth of that is that they will quickly replace you, your career. Quickly replace you. You may think you're irreplaceable, and it may take two people, but they will replace you, and you will be forgotten about.
Yeah.
You will be. I mean, it just how it is. And the sad part of it is, most of us, men and women, will give our lives to something that in the end won't matter. It will provide for our family, but there's so much more than just providing a paycheck. Sorry if that hurts. If you want to leave a legacy, investing in people is the best way to do that. People are the one thing that will survive us. The choice you have to make is, what will your legacy be? For fathers in the room, the first people you need to think about are those God has given you. As a father, God has given you a role and responsibility of discipling your children. It isn't someone else's job, and if you're here at church hoping that we'll do it for you, we can't. I did youth ministry for 9 years, and I invested in my life in speaking the truth about the gospel to students. And I saw students engaged with the gospel that came from families that didn't believe in Jesus. And let me just tell you, history will make the difference on who on the other side of that. Because those who had families that supported that, encouraged that, not perfectly, but you see more come out of that. But family, when they're going home and being challenged by it. So our effort and energy to invest in that means something. They're looking to you. Now is the time to make sure that they see the right things. We've all fallen short, and you will, as a father like me, fall short again. But, and I've said this 100 times in sermons that I've preached here at the church, I think one of the most beneficial things that you can give your children is a repentant self. When you blow it, when you act a fool, when you do something that you shouldn't, when you let anger control you to go, I don't know how many times I've walked into my children's room, even when they were little, and apologized for my behavior. And you're like, I'm tired of telling you, they need to see it, because if they don't see it in you, they won't do it. I'll say this again later, but a phrase, I don't know who I got it from, but I've just owned it forever, is you teach what you know, but you will reproduce who you are. And as my pastor would say from back home, what you do in moderation, your children will do in excess. So they're looking to you, moms and dads, to be like, how should I behave? What should I do? How should I respond? And one of the most beneficial things that you can do is go, I messed up and I'm sorry. And repent of it to your children, because you want to model things that you want to see them do. See, this is why, and this is kind of my point of today's message, is going out here of this room and trying harder isn't going to get you anywhere. My opinion. If we don't surrender to Jesus as fathers, as parents, and allow Jesus to shape us, we won't be shaped outside of here. Because I've tried it. I mean, I love motivation and I love checking boxes, but you cannot check a box to change your heart. And so we need to get into these places that we're personal and intimate and an intentional relationship with our Father. So today's text is going to talk with, and I love that, which we didn't even talk about this, I love that Jackson brought up David, because David is part of the reason where this sermon's coming from today. And you've been reading some of the stuff that I'm going to talk about. And I'm going to lightly hit it, and I'm going to talk about our responsibility. And Lord willing, I'm going to get you out of here on time, even though we're running a little bit behind.
Yeah, we are going to be all right with
that. Before we get into the word, let's pray. Dear Father, it is by your grace that we can walk out of here and be what you've called us to be. And so, Lord, where we need to submit and surrender to you, where I pray that you would bring us to that place of humbly bending the knee to you as Father, so that we can see what Father does and do what Father does. So, Lord, give us grace as we read your word. Give us the ability to not be condemned, not be put in a place that we can never come back from, but Lord, in this place that there's hope and a future in you. So Lord, give us grace in your word today. And we pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. So why does it matter whether or not you live to leave a legacy? Because you're going to leave a legacy. People will remember things about you. And it can either be good things or it can be bad things. It's just how it is. I mean, you don't get to decide, well, I'm not going to leave anything. You are leaving something, but you get to determine what is it that you're going to leave. Frederick Douglass has this quote. It says, it's easier to build strong children than to repair broken men or women. It just is. Like, if you want to change our culture, if you want to change our city, if you want to change our future, we have to start with the kids that we have in our house. And if you've not noticed this, our culture has a plan and agenda for your children. But our culture doesn't have them like you can have them. They can get influenced and pull them in certain directions, but you have such a power and an ability to speak into their lives. Here's some, just to kind of get you an idea that how important, you know, dads are when we step up. Here's some statistics for you. Here's just a few stats relating to how the absence of fathers is impacting our society. This is from fatherhood.org. Children without fathers are 4 times more likely to live in poverty, or more likely to suffer emotional and behavioral problems, have higher levels of aggressive behavior than children born in married homes, have 2 times the risk of infant mortality, or more likely to go to prison. 1 out of 5 persons in prison grew up with a father. So 4 out of 5 in prison grew up in a fatherless home and are twice as likely to be involved in early sexual activity. And this is just fathers that are present, you know, in the home, that they're still married. This isn't like, hey, these are number one and great fathers. This is just a dad in the home. Can you imagine what these statistics would be really like if that dad loved Jesus, surrendered to Jesus, and lived like Jesus mattered to his house and did everything in his power to sow that in? God loved the imperfect David. If you've been reading the story of David, he is a mess. A mess. I mean, he did things that hopefully none of us have done in this room. He had someone murdered because he slept with his wife and got her pregnant when she wasn't there, or he wasn't there, he was off to war. I mean, he blew up, like, in his family. There was this thing with one of his daughters and one of his sons that led to this rebellion of one of his other sons where his kingdom was taken away from it. He was a mess. But the one thing that you read throughout the history is that David had a heart after the Father. And that changed him. And this is, and for all those that are like, man, I just can't do it, man, I made too much a mess. Like, what you're going to see in the next two verses that are after David has died, there's a blessing when we leave a legacy that impacts generations to come. So this is coming out of 1 Kings 11, verses 12 and 13. And you see this written over and over again. And it just shocked me when it happened, especially the second one, which is going to be in 2 Kings here in just a second. It's going to be in the screen behind me. Verse 12, it says, yet... Okay, let me set this up because you don't get that. So David has turned over his kingdom to his son Solomon. Solomon did what he was not supposed to do. God gave him all this wisdom. Sometimes I'm like, he was so wise, but he still made mistakes. And so God was like, hey, don't marry foreign wives. And what he did, he married pretty much every one of them he could find. Well, I mean, 700. I think he had 700 and maybe other. I mean, he had a lot of wives. And towards the end of his life, those wives from different cultures pulled his heart away from the Father. And because of that, God was going to take the kingdom from him. Not in his time, but in his son's time. It was going to be stripped from him, and he was only going to have one piece of the kingdom that David had all of. And it starts here when he's telling this in verse 12. It says, yet for the sake of David, your father, I will not do this in your day, but I will tear it out of the hands of your son. Verse 13. However, I will not tear away all the kingdom, but I will give you one tribe to your son for the sake of David, my servant, and for the sake of Jerusalem that I have chosen. And we're getting ready to read another line that sounds almost identical to that. That is, I believe, 117 years later. Yeah. So this is just a few years, you know, maybe in 30, 40 years after David's death that we're seeing this. We're seeing God honor the lineage of David because of who David was, which is a big deal. And then 117 years later, we go jump into 2 Kings chapter 8, verse 19. This is another king. It says, yet the Lord was not willing to destroy Judah for the sake of David, his servant, since he promised to give a lamp to him and to his sons forever. And see, what we're seeing happen here is God's prepping for what he's going to do in Jesus. But he's preserving a kingdom because of this one guy, David. And I think, you know, there's a lot more to this, and I would love to say this is just solely that David was a great father, and he wasn't always a great father. See, David loved Jesus, and because of his, or well, he did love Jesus because they were there. David loved God, had a heart for God, and you see him in, and for those that are like, man, David's a mess, read the Psalms. A great one just to kind of spend some time on today, to see the heart change that really made David who he is. You can go to Psalms 51 where he just cries out in repentance for the things that he did. And you see in David's life this restoration of what God was willing to do. So why is it important to have a heart for God that leads to legacy? I don't think you can do it. Like I think anything that we do for our children that isn't anchored in the Holy Spirit and in a life dedicated to Jesus will be temporary. So you could work real hard and lead your children a lot of money, and that money may in that moment bring something to them, but we want to leave a legacy that's going to last past that. And I think that's what we see here with David. So where do we begin? It doesn't begin with what you do, it begins with who you are. So I'd love to say, here's 10 things that if every father did starting from this point on, and there are things that you could do that would be helpful. But the most important thing that you could ever do is turn your life to Jesus and live in this humble place that you're allowing Him to have access to you. And we see this through the life of Jesus. Jesus was willing or unwilling to do anything on His own. Our model. He was like, I don't do anything that I don't see the Father doing. I don't say anything that I don't hear the Father saying. Can you imagine in our lives if we were just willing to, in these moments, to say, hey, I'm only going to operate under the authority of the Father. I'm only going to do what the Father is calling me to do. And we see this model with Jesus. So Matthew 22 through 37. Jesus was asked, what's the grace commandment? And so he's going to quote Deuteronomy out of this, but Matthew 22, verse 37 says, and he said to him, you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, and with all your soul, and with all your mind. This is the greatest and first commandment. And the second is like it. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. On these two commandments depends all the law and the prophets. Really, if we could sum it down and put it in the simplest terms, your call as a follower of Jesus is to love God and to love others. Plain and simple. Because if you do those things, all the other, you don't even have to pay attention to the other the Ten Commandments, because if you operate in those two, you're going to operate in those Ten Commandments. So where did that come from? It came out of Deuteronomy 5, as a direct quote. Guess what comes after Deuteronomy 5 and two verses later in verse 7? You don't have to guess. Unless you know, I'll tell you. Shocker. Deuteronomy 6, you get this famous verse, chapter 6, verse 7. It says, so he just said, you'll love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind. And then verse 7, it says, you shall teach them diligently to your children, and talk to them when you sit down in your house, and when you walk by the way, and when you lie down, and when you rise. So part of our responsibility as fathers, one is to know Jesus. Because if we love the Lord our God with all our heart, with all our soul, with our mind, we're going to have right motives. We're going to have right outcomes of what we're doing. And right from what he's quoting, the next step from that was training our children. If you love him, if you love Jesus, your next step in there is showing your children who Jesus is to you. John 10, 27. I should get one of my guys to quote this for me. I won't do that either. At least one of them. Okay, John 10, 27 says, my sheep hear my voice, I know them, and they follow me. That's our heart. Like, if you want to be a disciple of Jesus, this is what he's calling you to be. He's calling you to know the Father, because he knows us, to know his word, because we got to learn to hear his voice, and out of knowing him and hearing his voice, we walk in obedience. So what do we do? So where do we begin? We begin with knowing Jesus intimately and personally. So what do? We train and disciple our children. You teach what you know, but you reproduce who you are. See, if your plan is for your children to be good, most parents, most fathers in the room, moms in the room, you would like your children not to go to jail, right? Anybody's like, man, I'm hoping my kid goes to jail. I've always wanted to use one of those telephone. Like, no one's in here thinking like, hey, like, man, I hope you like live it up. No, my parents are like, man, I want you to be obedient. And I want to tell you, the best way for that to walk out in their life is you show them what it means to be obedient to Jesus for you. Because if you demonstrate your children, I'm going to do whatever I want, even if I know that I shouldn't do it, what are they going to do? They're going to follow your lead, and they're going to do exactly what you don't want them to do because it's what you're showing them to do. And so part of discipling and training your children is you have to have it in you. Like, we cannot. It's like they mentioned this in the New Testament. It's like the blind leading the blind. We're called to know Jesus. And in our knowing Jesus, we allow our kids to see Jesus in us, meaning we walk this out. The best thing that you can do for your children is not tell them what they should do. The best thing that you should do for your, or could do for your children is live it in front of them. Let them see you taking time out of your schedule to be in the Word. Let them see you memorizing Scripture. Let them see you pray, not just praying at dinner. And I'm saying, if you came to my house, you're probably like, is he a pastor? Because, like, I'm full on. Like, we want to bless the food, but we also want to eat.
Yeah.
You know, like, I had a buddy of mine one time. I was like, thank you, Jesus, for this meal. He's like, no, that is not enough. And he wanted more, but we prayed more. But we did. But, like, you know, we want to demonstrate these things for our children, because if it doesn't work for you, even though you say that it works, they're not going to do it. But when they see your faith lived out and they see that it works, not that it's perfect, not that if you pray the right way you're going to get everything you want, but that when things happen like today, this is a great example of life. Things aren't going to work perfectly. And your kids are looking for you going, how are they going to behave? How are they going to go through this moment? And so part of that is we have to learn that God, just like us, is going to discipline His children. There's a scripture that says, you know, if you're not disciplined as a child by the Father, then you're not a child. And so some of us, no one, anybody like discipline as an adult? Like when, you know, you feel like you do something dumb, you know, you get pulled over because you were speeding, you do that thing and you're like, why? And we all, almost always, and I love it when we see people in the world blame God for the thing that they did. Like, why, Lord? Well, you were going 15 miles over the speed limit. I remember the Lord sitting in the driver's seat, be like, so we want to allow the discipline that God wants to do in us, because if we're unwilling for God to discipline us, what He will do as children. Proverbs 3:11 says, my son, do not despise the Lord's discipline or be weary of His reproof. For the Lord reproves him who He loves as the father, the son in whom He delights. We want, I don't wake up in the morning and be like, look, Lord, I'm looking for a good woman. But like when it happens, when things happen in life and we're caught and we see the sin's influence on us, we need to be grateful. Like one of the things, I'm parents of young kids, here's something that I would advise you to start praying. We prayed it over our children when they're little. I pray they get caught all the time. I want my children, and you want your children, to realize that I'm not going to get away with anything. My kids would come home from school and be like, the first time they did something, like, my friends do this all the time. I'm like, thank you, Lord. I want, you know, because that's what we want. When things happen, we want to realize, you know, there are consequences to it, because the more we get away with something, even in our own life, the more you get away with sin right now, the thing that you know that you shouldn't have in your life, that you're allowing a little bit in it, and the more you get away with it, the more you're going to be willing to step a little bit further and a little bit further and a little bit further until you step into consequences that you can't easily overcome with just like, I'm sorry. So we want to be submitted to the Father that He has the ability to speak into through discipline our lives. Ephesians 4, or 6, 4 says, fathers, do not provoke your children to anger. Whew, that's hard. That's hard. I was going to say, like, I've talked about my fatherhood failures in here before. And it's hard in those moments not just to lose your mess. But look at this. It says, fathers, do not provoke your children to anger. On the other side of that, but bring them up in the discipline and instruction of the Lord. That's our call. This is what He's telling us as fathers. Proverbs 22, verse 6, it says, train up a child in the way they should go, and when he is old, he will not depart from it. What this verse is saying, in the way they should go, and if you've had more than one children, you'll realize that you cannot discipline, love, or parent a child the same way as the other children that you have. They're just not. It means in their bent. You have to know them and know where their heart needs to be shaped and help them shape their heart in that. Our children will become our legacy and our letter So Paul, and I'm going to read in 2 Corinthians chapter 3, Paul was being challenged by the church that he started, by the people, because other flashy, what seemed like better preachers were coming into town, and the church that he started was now going, Paul, we have these super apostles coming in here. We need a letter of reference. And he tells them, and what we're going to read right here is that you are my letter. And I'm going to transition this over into parenthood a little bit. So in 2 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 2, it says, you yourself are our letter. What God did in and through you as we started this church and as we preached the gospel, you're our letter of reference. You're our letter of recommendation written on your hearts to be known and read by all. And to show that you are a letter from Christ delivered by us, written not by ink, but with the Spirit of the living God, not on tablets of stone, but on tablets of the human hearts. Your children will be a letter that other people will read based on what you did. And some of us in the room are, I'm in the late stages here. Meaning I have a 22-year-old that's been out of my house for 2 years. She's moving away. And I get to move her in like 3 weeks to Durham. I have a son who's 20 years old that's going to be moving Charlotte to go to school, and we'll be left with one 15-year-old that I get potentially minimum 3 more years. Maybe 5. We like community college. It's like I'm just going to throw this out there, parents. No kid needs to go to college right away. And you're like, yes, they don't. It's like $5,000 for 2 years at community college. And let me tell you, there's a lot of growing up that happens between 18 and 20. I've seen it happen to me. So I have 3 to 5 more years with my youngest, being in the house, seeing her every day. And you may be in that same place where, like, what can I do to retake all this ground? Or, man, maybe you've done everything wrong, and in these moments you're like, what should I do? The easiest thing that you can do right now is submit to Jesus. And say, Jesus, I want to leave a legacy. And your ability to do that is not so much about you, but your willingness to surrender to a God who can. So it's never too late. So here's some things that I'm going to encourage you to do. First, if you want to leave a legacy, cultivate your relationship with the Father. If you're not already, and I know this, I say this so much that you get sick of it, but if you're not in the Word, you won't be changed. The Word is the one guaranteed place that God speaks. And if you don't engage with it, if you don't read, if you don't get into a place that you're studying, you'll trust me and me alone. You'll come in here and be like, whatever He gives me is all I need. And that is not true. It's not true. You need more than this. You need to connect with Him, and that's it. And getting in places that you memorize Scripture so that when things happen, Jesus, when He was tested, all He did was quote Scripture. When Satan came after Him, He didn't, do some dance. He didn't pull power, fire from heaven to destroy Satan. He just spoke the Word, because I think He wanted us to have that same idea, that our ability to overcome what's going to come against us can come from the power and ability of the Word of God. We need to get into this place that we pray and conversate with the Holy Spirit. Have conversations with God. I'm in a group. We just finished a great book on prayer. If you've not heard me say it before, there's a book called A Praying Life by Paul E. Miller. He is an average guy that has gone through a ton of stuff. And there's just a benefit where you just learn to connect with the Father throughout your day. And I'm reminded of John... I am the vine, you are the branches of this verse. It says, without me, you can do nothing. And that's in parenting, moms and dads. Without Him, you can do nothing. Anything that we will do without the Father won't make the distance. And then one of the big things is we need to learn to live out what we read. I think one of the dangers of the Christian church right now is that we know a lot of things that we don't do. And we tell people that they shouldn't do things that we're clearly doing ourselves. We have to get in a place that we trust His Word. And when His Word says that we should think and believe a certain way, we should live it out. And as you grow and get to know God, bring your kids along with you. Paul said this in 1 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 1. It says, "Be imitators of me as I am of Christ." The plain and simple truth about what we want to do with our kids will come as we surrender to Jesus and live our lives with Him. So I'm going to invite our worship team back up, and I never do this, so don't take offense to this, but when they come up here, I'm going to pray over the dads, and I'm going to have you stand up. So if you father, and that does not mean just like biologically, but if you mentor and sow into people, guys, if you just stand up, I just want to pray. And I want everybody, and we'll know that if everyone stand up, don't be shy. I never do this, so if you feel like I'm going to make you stand up every Sunday, I'm not. But I think there's a pivotal moment of us saying we are available for what God wants to do in and through you. So, Father, Lord, I thank you for the fathers in this room. I thank you for the fathers that not only have fathered their own biological children, but are loving on and investing in the next generation of their grandchildren who are mentoring other men, young men. Lord, I just pray grace and favor. And Lord, I pray right now, regardless of what yesterday looked like and how much they think they may have missed the mark, Lord, I pray that you would bring redemption and grace in their lives so that tomorrow, today, they can do the things that need to do so that their legacy would be left. Lord, that you would bless them in what comes ahead of them. Lord, I pray that our children and our grandchildren and our great-grandchildren will remember us, not because of what we acquired, but because of who we knew. So, Lord, your grace and your mercy. Lord, I pray for those fathers in this room that maybe potentially right now feel like they missed the mark with you, and they want to connect with the living God, and they want to know you personally. So, Lord, I pray that you would call fathers into an intimate relationship with you, Lord, that they would understand the idea that you are the vine and they are the branch. Lord, would you bring fruit to us as we connect to you? So, Lord, thank you for this morning. Thank you for the grace that you give for us to walk out our calling as fathers. I pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.
Thank you for joining us today on the Reach Community Church podcast. We'd love to have you join us next Sunday. You can learn more about our mission at reachcommunitychurch.com.